All right, folks, welcome back to Little Things Are Big Things podcast. We are talking this week about the idea of recovery, and Tim's Connection Activity is going to talk to us about gamification and how that can help our students try harder in class. Go ahead, Tim, tell us what gamification is all about.
Yeah, so we're going to take a look at this idea of recovery and trying to help increase the likeliness of our students to even attempt to recover out of whatever hole they've dug themselves into. And when I think about recovering and trying to make learning fun and trying to even make it something that they're like, oh yeah, that would be worth me trying and like I don't mind trying, I think of this this TED Talk that I watched. It was called The Super Mario Effect. And if you haven't seen it, I'd highly encourage you to go watch it, but I'll kind of give you just a quick summary so you know where a little bit of my thinking comes from when I start to build these different activities and games and stuff. But the general idea is like if you think about old school Super Mario, right? Like regular Nintendo, you're playing as Super Mario, you're trying to go save the princess. That first level, you're running, you come up on a pit, you jump, you fall right into the middle of the pit and you die, right? Like if the game was just over and you never got to try again, like that's where the learning would stop. That game would be over. Nobody would ever buy that game. But no, you pop right back up and you get to try again, you know, and eventually, you know, you only have a certain amount of lives or attempts or whatever, and you might have to restart the game entirely from the beginning, but you never ever really get penalized. Like you, nothing majorly goes wrong for you, right? So you can just keep trying and keep trying and keep trying and keep trying. So he had this idea, is like, how did we as like young, you know, kids, like play this game for hours and hours and hours and never actually win, right? Like we played it for hours before we finally got to level 8 and then got beat and had to do it all over again.
And then correct me if I'm wrong, like even if you beat it, doesn't it just start over again?
It does, and it goes into a harder variation of it, right? Like, I think all the turtles turn into, like, those little black shell dudes, right? But yes, like, you save the princess, the game is over, and it's like, hey, let's do it again, right? And it's like, let's just make it harder, and you just keep going. But, yeah, like, I remember the very first time, like, I got to level 8, and then I lost. And I was, like, so frustrated and so pissed off. And, yeah, I walked away for a little bit, like, just – fuming is like this hormonal teenager on rage mode. And then all of a sudden I came back and I did it again for another 45 minutes or an hour, whatever it takes to get back to that point. And then, you know, I got a little bit further and I died again. And then I pissed off in rage mode. I came back and I did it again. Like, why would I even spend that much time and effort? And it's like, because it was fun. And realistically, I wasn't penalized for failing. So it was fun and I want to succeed. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to keep trying. So his whole like premise on this was this idea that people are going to try more if it's fun and there's no penalty. So they tested this theory and there was, again, watch the TED Talk, but from my memory off the top of my head right now, they had two different games on their website. You had to move things around and or like guide a code so that you could make like, I don't know, like it was like a car had to go through a maze and like finally get out the exit. And you had to type in a couple different codes. And the idea was to teach you how to code. And the average attempts on the game, you started with 100 points. And every time you crashed or had the wrong code, and so it didn't make it out the path, they said, you know, wrong, minus 5 points, try again. The average on it was like 5 attempts before people just quit. And like the success rate, I think, was like something less than half. Okay. And then the only difference between that one and like the second game they did was they didn't take any points away. So you'd crash your car or whatever on the coding and it would just say, you know, wrong, try again. Still had 100 points. And so they tried again, wrong, try again, 100 points, wrong, try again, 100 points. And they found that at the end of that second attempt, when there was no penalty, they noticed that the average attempts went up to something like 13. Like it was like 2.5 times more attempts. Like that's a huge number on like a statistics basis. And then it was like, I don't know, like 87% or something. And I'm making some of these numbers up. But like obviously the success rate was much higher as well because people mm-hmm. were trying more and they became successful. But like it was mind-blowing that just because they didn't take away points from a fake score on a game that you showed up to on the internet just to play, right? Like, those points don't mean anything. But I mm-hmm. lost 5 fake points and I still – you know, at 5, what that would put you down to what, 75 points? And all of a sudden, you're like, psh, I'm done. I'm not going to lose any more of my 75 points. I'm not trying this game that doesn't mean anything, right? Like, but instead, 13 attempts. Like, if you'd taken 5 points away on each one of those, you lost 80 points, right? Or no, 65 points. Sorry, quick math there. And so you've got 35 points remaining if you had, you know, actually put that in. And I think it's interesting. And you and I talk about this all the time with like grades and stuff, but like put that into a classroom. If you're taking points away, even if it's just 5 points each attempt, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, a kid's going to stop at 75. That's a C. Who's going to keep mm-hmm. trying until if I get it right and I succeed, the best I can do is a 35. Mm-hmm. Right? I lose 65 points because it's my 13th try and I get it finally, but the best score I can get is a 35, especially in our 100-point grade systems.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, like, from a very, like, math practical standpoint, since that's kind of your realm between the two of us, and I'll be the theory guy, like, I'm hearing this Super Mario effect thing, and I'm wondering, okay, so if I set up my grade book so that essentially when you walk in the door, you have a C, and then everything that you earn after that is bonus, right? So you make an attempt to do whatever, right? You make 4 attempts to write an evidence-based essay. You can only go up from there, right? You're not going to get penalized. Yeah. Only like, hey, you did a great job. You're now at a B. Or, hey, you did a fantastic job. Now you're at an A. And however many attempts it takes you to get to that level, is that kind of what that would look like in the classroom from a scoring standpoint?
You know, I'd actually never thought of that. And that's brilliant. I love it. Like, we should build our own grade scale and market this to everybody. So if you are part of a group out there that wants to jump in with us, shoot us an email, help us with this idea. We're going viral. That is brilliant, right? Like, it's the idea of here's your score. It cannot go down if you fail. It can only go up because I succeeded. So ding, 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 more points, right? Mm-hmm. And then I attempt and I attempt and I attempt. Ding, 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 I win. And it keeps climbing until whatever your final grade is. I love that. And I mean, the only thing in there, I know someone's going to be like, well, how do you fill your class then? Like, if you can't go down. Like, I personally am still a believer. If you don't do it, you don't get points. Like, that would be the one thing. It's like, hey, you've got a 70 to do this activity. If you don't do this mm-hmm. activity, you don't have the 70, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about this more, I think, on the big idea kind of episode. But I also build a buffer in, especially for my test, because they carry so much weight, because a 0 in a grade book jacks a kid up for the whole quarter. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so we'll talk about that in more detail. But I love that idea of, if I'm at least doing everything, I don't lose points and I get a C.
Cool. So, I've wrapped my mind.
So much stress.
I know. So I've wrapped my mind around like how the scoring part can make kids work maybe a little bit harder and push them to not give up, which has kind of been the theme for the last month or so, is essentially how do we motivate our students to actually try and learn versus staying in a safe shell.
Right.
So then the second part, which I'm assuming is the harder part, I mean, there's a whole admin yelling at you for the way you're grading, but, you know, forget those guys. So I'll watch my language. But
they might enjoy it.
They might like it because they just want people. They get paid based on pass rates anyways, which we'll talk about in the next episode. But
so they'd love it.
How do you make kids want to keep trying, right? How do you make the assignment game-like, right? Because that's the key, right? Like from what I'm hearing, there's a part of it that's, hey, you're not getting penalized for failure, so you're less likely to give up in frustration. But there's also this is entertaining enough, for lack of a better term, that I'm going to keep trying. And I know, because I've heard you talk about your classroom, that you've actually done some work with this, right?
Yeah, and sometimes I'm successful, sometimes I'm not, right? And I think it's like any game. There are so many games out there, and we don't all love to play all these games, right? Mm-hmm. Like, even though I could, you know, never lose this game, if that game sucks and I'm not engaged and it's not fun or it's not honestly, if it's not challenging enough too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just going to put it away. But if I can make something that has meaning to me, so ways that we've talked about this before and ways that I use this, you create student like activities that they want to do. You write story plot problems or stuff that relates to the things they're interested in, or uses their names in a test question, or, you know, all these different things that creates that meaningfulness to the student. Mm-hmm. You make it challenging enough that they want to be successful, not so easy that they don't try because like, oh, I already know how to do that. And not so challenging that like, holy crap, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not going to even start. Right. Like, you got to find that sweet spot. And that, you know, that's kind of like the level up idea. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you can build level one and then build level two and build level three, like, awesome. Hopefully by the end of the school year, you're doing some pretty complicated stuff and they're really in on it and you've, you know, built momentum. So a couple things that I do just on a regular intermittent basis, right? Three truths and a lie. Love that one. It's more of a warm-up kind of a thing. So it's a simple game, right? It's this idea that on the board, three of the things on the board are true. One of them is not. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this as a connection activity and sharing things about us, having the students share things about themselves, but you can do this academically as well. So like if I was an algebra 2 teacher and I was doing quadratic equations or something, like mm-hmm. I could have four graphs of functions up on the board and three of them would be quadratics and one of them would not be. Identify which is the false one. Right. And so it's like kind of your warm up and engagement to go in, or it could be an exit slip kind of an idea, a similar type thing, kind of check student understanding. You can use that three truths and a lie. That one's good. Kahoot and or GimKit. I think both of those are great ways to kind of gamify things. Mm-hmm. And then if the project allows, and this doesn't happen very often, actually legit let the students build a game. And so like I'm actually in the middle of a statistics project right now. And so my favorite part about statistics is Las Vegas or sports betting, you know, or sports in general, right? Like statistics are all over the place when it comes to gambling and when it comes to athletics and things like that. So what I've done is after we did some of the basics, the final part instead of a test for them here is you have to take all you know about counting and probability and expected values and stuff and come up with a game that you're going to then challenge your classmates to play. And then you are going to play your classmates' games and I'm going to reward and I'm going to do a pizza party because it's the end of the year and it's fun and I want pizza. So we're going to have the most profitable game come to that party and the most winning person come to that party as well. So it gives them some incentive to actually make a good project besides, you know, the fact that it's their grade.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm doing in the current moment.
So one of the things in there that I really have found valuable is like that food element, right? Like the reward. Yes, there's a grade attached to it, but it's like the quality of work results in pizza party, or as simple as first place in the Kahoot gets three dum-dums, second place gets two, and third place gets one, right? Like people are going to continue to work hard in that realm. So I love that you do that. I think that's like an obvious idea, and I love the game idea, and I can just see you with all the stats and playing all these games and having a great time with your kids. So man, I really like this. I think there's like, this almost feels like, I know it's technically our connection activity for this week, but I feel like this little idea of the Super Mario effect, if you like really thought through how to apply this on like a macro scale, I feel like it could completely revolutionize the way a classroom works.
Right. And like, I think that's one of the ultimate goals of this dude that's doing, like, had done the TED Talk. And I'm trying to remember because there's another guy I watch too that's got some hilarious YouTube videos. But like, they like do these crazy science experiments on like, you know, YouTube videos and are like, hey, this is what makes this fun. And like, all of a sudden, learning's fun and people watch it. They're not required to watch it, they're not getting graded, but they're learning stuff because it's fun.
Yeah, for sure. So that guy's name, I looked it up while you were chatting about him because I'm going to watch it when we're done here. but it's Mark Rober, looks like. So for those of you who want to go out and find that. And then I just, something that you just said reminded me of a kind of a funny story. You were talking about like kids having fun and like being able to watch a video. We were doing our connection activity for this week in hybrid learning was this. I stole it from another teacher in school. Jukebox whip around, where the kids like pick up their two favorite songs and they play it for like 35, 45 seconds, and then you go to the next kid. And this one kid's song, the lyrics were hilarious. They were talking about went to college when I could have just been on YouTube, right? Like watching all the videos on YouTube to learn stuff and never had all this debt. I was like, man, what a fantastic song in so many ways. It was hilarious. So,
right.
Yes, definitely. Right. That's a thing for teachers to think about too, right? We are competing with other mediums that are a little more entertaining than we are if we keep doing things the way they've always been done.
Dude, okay, you just made me think of something that happened this morning, and I was like, my soul was crushed. I was so excited. I came in. We're basically done. So my first period class is a credit recovery restart class. So we've got, I don't know, it was probably like 25 kids that literally did not come to a single class for first semester virtually, did not do a single assignment, right? And so they've got zero on the grade book. This idea of recovery, right? How do we help these students recover? And so they were like, all right, we'll put them into a restart. We'll have them back because we were able to come back in person on a hybrid model. And so we're like, all right, you're going to be in person for second semester, but you're going to learn first semester's content. And then you're going to take the second semester over the summer. And so I've been working with this group of kids. They've whittled themselves down to 14 that actually still keep showing up. So that's a whole nother story about this idea that even when we try to help them recover, they still follow the same patterns and find ways to just disappear. But anyway, so my kids that are in there, they're fairly well engaged. They're all going to pass. They're all going to earn their credit so far for this semester that they've recovered. And I was like, yes, all right, we're done. I just want to teach them some new stuff. Here's what you're going to see second semester in summer. And like one of the things that I enjoy about geometry is similar triangles and right triangle trig, because you can use both of those to find the heights of objects without having to like climb to the top of it. And so like I drew like this picture of a tree and I was like, hey, see that tree outside? How do I find how tall it is? So like they've got the visual outside the window. I've got it drawn on the board. I'm kind of gamifying it. I'm letting them like pick like how could I find it? And of course the first answer, how do I find how tall this tree is? Climb up to the top of it with a tape measure. I was like, all right. I like it. And the last time I climbed a tree, I know I couldn't reach the top and I'm a whole lot bigger now than I was then. I'm not going to even attempt that one. So I was like, how can we do it without climbing the tree? Right. And so I set them up with like the similar triangles. I showed them the math on it where like you can do the shadow of the tree and put it in relationship to your height with the shadow that you have at the same time of day. And then you can do similar triangles and find the height. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. And then I just showed them, I was like, and then your phone has this clinometer. Then you can do right triangle trig and find the height. And they're like, cool. They're like, hey, you know what else you can do? You can take this app and you can point it at the base of the tree, point it at the top of the tree, and it tells you the height. I was like,
ah! Well, now you know how the app works, kids.
I know, right? I was like, literally for like 25 minutes, I've been like trying to make this fun, make it engaging, and the kid at the end is like, why do we need to know that? This app does that. And you just like clicks it. It was really funny. Now, in my defense, this was also like a little funny backfire. He goes to do the very first time he goes to do it, he points it out the window. And I don't know how the app does it, like specifically, right? But it points back and it says like 3'7" or something. I was like, that tree ain't 3'7". You know, it's like a 40-foot tree outside. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I think I'm too far away from it. So, you know, and then we tried it inside the classroom. We found the height of the ceiling, which it actually was like almost spot on. So I was like, all right, that's cool. And now, you know, one of the tools that this actually might be using to help.
Well, I know it's too late, but like the turnaround on that is the person who's making money on that app knew how to do the math that you were just talking about. Right.
Like, oh, bro, I totally explained that. I was like, okay, you need to understand the why and how so you can create the next coolest thing that everybody pays you so they don't have to figure it out. Right. And most people are like, I don't really care.
Well, we'll talk about those kids next episode, but that's all. That's a great story.
So funny. So anyways, that's what I do. I like doing it. The statistics game we've been doing the last 2 days has been hilarious because the kids are the ones creating the game, which gives them a lot of buy-in and ownership. Mm-hmm. So they want to play their own game and have people play it. And then because it's competitive to get to this pizza party and there's a little bit of this gambling kind of vibe, right? You know, mm-hmm. It's all fake currency. It's not real. The only thing they're really fighting for is this pizza party and like just showing that they did their game. But it's enough competitiveness on top of like, this is my game, so there's a bit of pride in it, that they're really, really in on it. And they are trying over and over. Like, we've played it for 2 days across three classes. I probably have 70 students in those three classes. And we have like 800 recorded responses on gameplay because I built it in Google Form. So they had to type in their response every single time. So I have this massive spreadsheet where I'll be able to filter it by the student's game, by the player who played it, by how much was played, how much was won. And I'll be able to literally figure out what game made the most money, what student made the most money. And then we'll be able to celebrate them on Monday. And I'm stoked about it. So
that's awesome, man. That's going to be great.
So anyways, appreciate you guys jumping in for our connection. Again, if we want to talk, how is this a connection piece with the kids? Get that buy-in, right? Get the buy-in, understand what they love about it, and then you're in great shape. So anything else you got, Dave?
We can't call that a connection episode. That was a revolution episode. So
it's good. No, I think you and I legit, let's start game planning how to actually do this grade from a 70 and go from it. I love that idea. And then I'm gonna share a little behind the scenes and maybe we'll sneak it into the free resources for those of you that sign up for it too. But I've got a crazy idea that involves videos that makes the kids want to get to the next video. So we'll share that one in the free resources for y'all. So
I like it.
We'll see you back here on Thursday. Always learning a peak state.
Have a great day.